KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky. We look for skies to be continued partly cloudy today for the most part, a high around 44. A freeze warning still in effect until 10 a.m. for the listing area. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the latest area and state news. The Creston Police Department reports 5 arrests took place over the past few days, and one incident of vandalism was reported. Sunday evening, 53-year-old Richard Beam of Ottumwa was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for violation of probation on an original domestic assault charge. Beam was being held in the jail while awaiting a bond hearing. Just before 1 a.m. Sunday, 19-year-old Nicole Bent of Creston was arrested for possession of drug paraphernalia. She was later released on a $300 bond. Friday night, 46-year-old Jonathan Mandel of Springfield, Illinois, was arrested in Creston for possession of a controlled substance first offense, and he was released on a $1,000 bond. Friday afternoon, 24-year-old Austin Jones of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for theft in the second degree, and Jones was later released on a $5,000 bond. And 27-year-old Peter Larson III of Decatur City was arrested Friday afternoon in Creston on a Union County warrant for violation of probation. Larson was being held on a $1,000 bond. A Creston resident reported to authorities late Sunday morning that sometime between October 11th and 14th, someone entered a rental property he owns in the 200 block of North Pine Street and caused damage to the walls, doors, and miscellaneous items inside the home. The damage was estimated at $300. A trial has been delayed until next year for a 19-year-old in northwest Iowa accused of stabbing to death his ex-girlfriend and another young man. Woodbury County District Court records say prosecution and defense attorneys requested another delay in the trial of Tran Walker. The trial had been set to begin Tuesday. The new starting date is February 19th. The original starting date was July 24th. Walker has pleaded not guilty to two counts of first-degree murder. He's accused of killing 17-year-old Peyton Sullivan and 18-year-old Felipe Negron Jr., both of whom lived in Sioux City. Police say Walker was in a car with the other two on January 28th when he began to stab Sullivan because he was upset that she had broken up with him. Police say that's when Negron tried to intervene and Walker stabbed him as well. Well, Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese Sunday announced the winners of the Fireman's Parade that took place on Saturday. The Harlan Fire Department won the most trucks division with their number of entries. The first place float award went to the Cass County Creators Clover Kids Club. Second place float to Olson's BP. And the third place float went to CCAC, that's the Cass County Animal Clinic, and Dr. Victoria. McNeese said there were 13 fire departments represented in the parade, a total of 29 fire trucks. There were around 120 total entries. Fire departments who came to participate include Atlantic, Marnie, Lewis, Anita, Harlan, Red Oak, Elkhorn, Wyota, Griswold, Messina, Adair, Exira, Hancock, and Walnut. And the Atlantic Sesquicentennial Parade was held in conjunction with Saturday's 2018 Fireman Parade. And the winners are, a Judge's Choice Award went to the Methodist Church here in Atlantic. They got a $50 Fairway gift certificate from Fairway Stores Incorporated and Dana Halder. The year 2068 award, what Atlantic might look like in that year. The parade was won by, the float was won by Lucas Christensen, and he won a $50 cash prize. Civic Organization Float Award went to the Cass County Creators 4-H Club, and they won Atlantic Sesquicentennial T-shirts, 20 each, from the Community Promotion Commission. The Agriculture Float Award went to Gary Christensen. He gets a pink plow and I Got Plowed buttons, 20 each, from Steve and Marie Livengood. And the Historical People Award went to the Sons of the Union Veterans of the Civil War, Camp No. 23, and they received $50 in cash. Elsewhere in the news, the Griswold School Board will meet in a regular session this evening at 5:30 at the Central Office, Middle School, High School building. New business on their agenda includes, but not limited to, approval of a gym floor maintenance contract, approval of Medical Enterprises contract, approval of the 2018-19 School Improvement Advisory Committee, action on an early retirement policy, and a decision on the school sign electrical hookup. The board will also receive information and or updates with regard to certified enrollment at Griswold, school culture and teacher leadership, as well as the compensation program. The Elkhorn-Kimbleton School District's Board of Education will meet this evening at 6 o'clock in the conference room at the Elkhorn Building. New business items on their agenda include a construction update, financial and enrollment updates from Mr. Miller, approval of various reports, approval of bid for roofing and siding of the weight room building, discussion and action on the second reading of various EHK board policies and other business matters, and approval of personnel hires, transfers, and or resignations, if there are any, before the board. The next EHK board meeting will then take place 6 p.m. November 19th at the same location. The Audubon School District's Board of Education will meet this evening at 6:30 in their boardroom at the high school. Some action items on their agenda include personnel matters, an SBRC request for on-time funding, that's the School Budget Review Committee. They are also the first reading of policies concerning student expression, online courses, investments, free or reduced price meals eligibility, meal charges, and district emergency operations plan. Also, the rescinding of a policy for bomb threats, the second and final reading of graduation requirements, and action on a policy pertaining to superintendent qualification, recruit, and appointment. The Audubon School Board will also discuss tonight final enrollment numbers, possible dates for meetings with sharing partners, and they'll receive reports from Superintendent Brett Gibbs, along with the district's principals. The CAM School Board will meet at 6:30 this evening in the CAM High School Media Center in Anita, and on their agenda is a presentation by the CAM Middle School Student Council and discussion or action with regard to open enrollment applications, resignations, contracts, volunteers, bank account consolidation, the Every Student Succeeds Act, and a review of 100 series board policies. The CAM School Board will also consider a fundraiser request from a CAM dance team sponsor. In other news, AARP Iowa and the Latino Political Network are offering a nonpartisan effort to inform Iowa's voters who are 50 and older, as well as the Latino population, about changes to the state's voting laws. AARP State Director in Iowa, Brad Anderson, said the two organizations are launching a statewide tour this week to help voters understand some of those changes.
While there are some new laws, our message is pretty simple. Early voting has started, and voting in Iowa is still very easy to do, and so we're encouraging everybody to get out there and do it.
Anderson said one of the questions that's being frequently asked is about the elimination of straight party voting.
You are going to have to vote for each individual candidate, and so we want to make sure that people avoid confusion there. I know there have been a lot of questions at the county auditor's office about, well, where did straight party ticket voting go? That was part of this new law, was it eliminated straight party voting.
Anderson says there's been a lot of talk about in the news about voter ID, and that's also led to a lot of confusion.
While you don't need an ID for this election, and you can just sign an affidavit, you will need your ID moving into 2019. And so we also want to answer any questions about voter ID and whether or not you need an ID to vote.
He says the majority of Iowans voting are over the age of 50.
The last midterm election in 2014, the 50-plus community represented 64% of the electorate. In the presidential election in 2016, the 50-plus community represented 55% of the electorate. So whether it's a midterm or a presidential election, the 50-plus community is the largest voting bloc in Iowa. So obviously that's a community that AARP is very focused on. But it's not just the 50-plus community. I mean, everyone needs to know that there are some new voting laws on the books.
Events will be held tomorrow in Mason City and Marion, Wednesday in West Des Moines and Shenandoah, and Thursday in Bettendorf. Registration is required by calling 877-926-8300. And Republican Governor Kim Reynolds held her second annual Harvest Festival fundraiser this weekend, critiquing her opponent's debate performance of bringing in reinforcements who stressed a national GOP campaign theme. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders was the evening's keynote speaker. She told the audience elections have consequences, and there's a 5-4 conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court now because Donald Trump is president.
When it came to the nomination and the confirmation of Judge Brett Kavanaugh, the way the Democrats acted was disgraceful, and it showed that we absolutely have to make sure we get out and vote and keep Republicans in the states and in Congress.
Senator Chuck Grassley suggested this should be the universal battle cry for every Republican campaigning in the country.
Remember Kavanaugh!
Reynolds asked the crowd if they had watched her debate with Democratic challenger Fred Hubble. Reynolds suggested Hubble spent the hour on live TV tearing down the stage.
It's no wonder that he didn't look like he was having much fun.
Reynolds and Hubble are scheduled to debate again on Wednesday night and then for a final time on Sunday morning. I'm O.K. Henderson.
That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.